Hey, everybody, it's Rick. This is the Nomad Pastor Podcast. I got my buddy Rob Batman from Forge of Brotherhood with me.
Hey, brother.
How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Alive and well.
Yeah, man.
Hey, we got some special guests today.
Very special guests.
So we got Little Wolf, and we got Airbender, and I'm going to apologize.
Little Dragon. And Mater.
Mater. So we're all chilling here at my house, and we just thought, you know, Little Wolf's doing his run, and so we thought we'd get together and talk about it.
All right.
Yeah. Yep. I called Rick yesterday and said, hey, man, you know, Little Wolf's in town. Let's do a podcast and get him out of here. And he's like, man, I'm all for that. So I've been excited about this, excuse me, since yesterday when I talked to Rick about it. And this is a highlight for us, yeah. For me especially, yeah. You know.
So we should start, like, you guys, I mean, I've been doing this podcast for just over a year. I think this will be episode 68, right? Mm-hmm. 68. And so there is some announcements we should probably make, right?
Probably.
Rob and I have been talking for a long time about what does it look like and what is kind of how do we build the kingdom? And so we've decided that we're going to go from a one-man podcast to a two-man podcast.
We're right? excited about that.
It's going to be Rick and Rob, and it's going to be right. Bikers for Christ and Forged Brotherhood like doing this together, united in Christ, two different ministries.
Yep.
Right? Because that's what we're
Very
supposed
good.
To do.
Very good.
Man. Right? We all work for the same boss.
Same boss.
That's right. So when he called, it was important to me. You and I have talked a lot about Yeshua's Run and the things that you guys are doing. And we were in Covington, Georgia recently, right? Hanging out, getting ready for the run.
Right.
And I thought, man, absolutely. Let's do this.
Let's pull his mic just a little bit closer to him.
Yeah.
Oh, you really want me to talk?
I just want to hear you.
I thought I was getting away here.
You're not getting out of it.
Oh, this is not an option, Wolf. It's you're here.
That's right. So I guess I would just let you guys talk. I mean, we've done this before, but we didn't really talk a lot about Yeshua's Run. We were kind of really badgering two plates more than anything.
Right. That's fun. That is fun.
How's he doing?
He's doing good. All right. I'll have to beat him up a little bit, but, you know, he's doing good. So tell everybody about Yeshua's Run and the whole reason for it.
Okay, the Heavenly Father put a vision on me and my wife and Shane and his wife that we needed to get a ministry going where it was neutral, where, you know, everybody could be involved with it.
Yeah.
And then he told me, he says, I want you to make a cross across the United States for me. And I says, well, what do you mean, make a cross across?
That's pretty vague. That's, right?
Yeah. Give me some details.
Yeah, I need a little bit more to this, you know.
Yeah.
And so he told me, he said, well, go on up to Michigan and get on I-75. So I looked at a map and I said, I wonder how far up Michigan he wants to go. So I kind of flipped a coin and said, okay, Flint, Michigan will be fine. I was going to go on to, what is that, Saginaw?
Yeah, Saginaw, Michigan, yeah.
But
you have to speak with a different accent in Saginaw, Michigan.
Though. Yes,
because you're right at the border.
Right.
Yeah, wasn't there a song about that? Sometime?
Yeah, Saginaw, Michigan. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I'll compromise and go to Flint.
Yeah.
So when we started off at Flint, got on I-75, and we go. What we do is we hit rest areas, truck stops, and little churches along the way.
Yeah.
And when we pull into like a rest area, I try to let the Holy Spirit guide me to different people that He wants me to talk to. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You sit there and you're going, hmm. So we started going up and talking with people and asking them if they needed prayer, if they knew Jesus and all this. And at first, you know, people didn't want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But especially looking like a biker, you know.
we've all been there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You walk around the grocery store and people run from you.
Right. Yeah. He's going to eat my kids.
or they grab their kids and go down the next aisle, you know. Or a lot of times, with the way I'm looking, the kids will come running up. Santa Claus. You know?
I was going to say Moses, but Santa Claus works
Santa
too.
Santa Claus works.
Yeah, I know. I look more like Moses.
Yeah. Do you still remember the recipe for dirt? I'm just curious.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. Because I made it.
There you go. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, good answer. Good.
So Flint, Michigan, and you went on the first one, you went from Flint to where?
I went down to... on the first one, Findlay, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Stopped in there and seen my brother in Findlay.
Mm-hmm.
And then went on down to Dayton. And stopped in at Dayton. I didn't have a church set up at that time. I just stopped in. And,
mm-hmm.
Then we went on from there down to, it was Lexington, Kentucky. Stopped in there. I did speak at a church there in Lexington on the first one. From there, I went on down to Knoxville, Tennessee.
Great place.
Yeah.
Great place. Tennessee's awesome.
I mean, we're kind of biased. But
kind of.
I didn't have really a church set up there, so I stayed at the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then went on down to Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
Stopped in there. Ended up in Georgia. The first round, you know, it was hard for these churches to let me in, you know, because they didn't know who I was and
all this. Right.
So I mainly just stopped in at clubhouses and different clubs and stuff. Or I'd stop in a rest area and sleep, you know.
Yeah. The first one that you – is that the first one where you and I met at the mission – When you came and gave your testimony at the Nashville Rescue Mission?
No, that was...
Because that was like 4 years ago?
Yeah.
We met at the mission?
Yeah, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. You know, the first one was... It was more or less one just to get the feel of it.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. And it's morphed into a whole bunch, but a whole lot more now, though.
Yeah.
In the way that you do it now.
Yeah, because the first one I did, I wasn't sure how far I'd go, and so I just kept on going. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I ended up doing the whole run in a matter of 2 or 3 weeks.
You know? Right.
Now it takes about 5 weeks.
Yeah, a little over a month, though, yeah.
So you started this year in Flint again, right?
Yeah.
And you went, so you take 75 to where? Where's the end point?
Okay, the end point is, it has been farther south, but I kind of shortened it up a little. So now I stop in at St. Pete.
Okay.
And I usually speak at the Heaven Saints church down there, Crossroads Church.
Mm-hmm.
Old Pastor Scott, he's been great.
Yeah.
Now when I first started, I had some Brothers Forgiven down there in Florida, and they had a church set up for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then that brother died, and that church kind of
faded away.
Faded away. Mm. But it was a pretty good church. It was an Oriental guy, and he was a good pastor, man.
So Flint to St. Pete.
Yeah.
Right. That's the small part of the cross, right?
Right.
Yeah.
The long part was I went all the way down to almost Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. And then you start on the 40, right?
Yeah.
So 40 from?
40, the first year I started in, I think it was close to Winston-Salem.
Okay.
And just...
all the way to Cali.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a run.
That's a long run, man.
Yeah.
That's a long run. How many miles do you average on a Yeshua's run?
I try to average maybe between about 300 miles a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, some days it's shorter.
Right.
And yeah. Some days it's longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
And on an average, it's about 300 a day.
Yeah.
For 5 weeks.
Yeah. 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 That's right. And I'm doing the math in my head, you know.
Well, you're probably better than I am. So what's that math?
So you're looking at 2,100 miles a week on an average.
Yeah.
Times 5 weeks, it's a little over 12,000 miles.
Right. Mm-hmm. So two sets of tires.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely two sets of tires.
Everything is related into how far your tires will go.
Yeah. And three, you're in the third oil change by then.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So that's amazing, man.
Yeah. So as you do it, you meet people from all walks of life.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
What are some of the most memorable things?
Let's see. The most memorable things are getting to talk with people, and like the first time that I really got to help somebody out was this lady that she pulled into. We were sitting at the service station waiting for, you know, the Holy Spirit to give me guidance to who I needed to talk to and all that.
Right.
And I kept watching this lady walk by us, and finally I says, do you need some help? And she says, well, I don't normally do this, but I ran out of gas and I need some help. And I said, well, sure, we'll help you out. And
yeah.
I went and filled her tank up and asked her if she needed some prayer.
Yeah.
And she says, yeah. And she was telling me about her son that he had just gotten arrested and he was facing time and all this. And so I said, well, I've been through that. I know all about that.
Right.
Says, let's pray about it. And we got around and prayed for her. And she said, when I put my hand on her, she just felt the Holy Spirit flow through her.
Praise God.
Had a peace about it and knew her son was going to be all right.
Yeah. Praise God. If you hear noise in the background, we got more people rolling into the house, so that's kind of how it is in the biker community.
Right.
You're going to hear bikes all the time, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
How you doing, brother?
Wet.
Yes.
I'm blessed, brother. How about you?
I'm good. I'm dry, but blessed.
This is a billboard.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And let me tell you, I don't know where we were talking. I went out to get billboard and bones, but... billboard has got the best way to introduce himself to anybody I've ever seen. He's got three questions.
Okay. Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah, go ahead and tell him the three questions.
Three questions are, do you know Jesus? Of course, everybody knows Jesus, it seems. Second question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Some say yes, some say no. But the third question is, are you going to heaven? And you don't know how many people I've talked to that said, yes, I know Jesus, and yes, I have a personal relationship with Jesus, But when I ask them if they're going to heaven, they say, I sure hope so. I hope I can do enough good. I hope I'm a good enough person. And then I have to break the bad news to them and tell them, well, if you're hoping for your good works, you ain't getting there.
That's right.
The only thing that gets you there is the blood of Jesus Christ. Mm. So I'm able to share the gospel with them.
No, that's perfect. I think it's interesting when, as Christians, we're supposed to know, right? Like, yeah. I'm never going to be good enough.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't do enough. If I get what I deserve, I'm burning.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right? But how many times, Rick, have you and I talked about icebreakers way we start those conversations?
A lot. Yeah.
And so I heard Billboard asking those three questions, and I was like, man, I got to take this to Rick because we've talked about this so many times.
Yeah.
About icebreakers and how we get a conversation started about the gospel or about Christ or about eternal life or about whatever. And that is the way that he asks, and he's always got a smile on his face. Always got a smile on his face. And we've started kidding each other, and I love it. We've been griping back and forth at each other for the last 2 days, and it's been fun. Yesterday at breakfast, we're all around the table at Cracker Barrel, and the cribs back and forth between me and Billboard, and even Rebecca,
ma'am.
And ma'am. Yeah. That may have to be her name. Her road name needs to probably be ma'am. Yeah. That's pretty funny. So, I didn't mean to interrupt and derail the train.
Are we expecting more?
I don't think so.
No. I don't know who that car is.
Do you want me to go check it out?
Nah, they're fine.
Okay.
I'm fairly sure we're safe.
Yeah, we're safe. We're safe.
Yeah. Anyway, it's Amazon.
Oh.
Maybe not safe.
What else did you order?
Look, I'm in enough trouble. We maybe not talk about that.
We're going to leave it alone. I tried to help you.
I know.
I tried.
All right, so you were saying, you were specifically talking about a woman that you had met and how she could feel the Spirit, right, when you prayed for her.
Right.
What is, what do you think is the... Well, what is the best part about doing Yeshua's Army Run, and what is the worst part?
The best part is being able to see the eyes of people brighten up when you get to pray with them.
And
they realize that, hey, this biker's...
this guy's not half bad.
It's not the same kind of stereotypical biker.
Right. Yeah. And... it's just seeing the people lighten up and really come alive,
Yeah.
Because we know they're all searching for something. And that what they're searching for is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that personal relationship with him.
Right.
Even when they don't know it.
That's what I was going to say. Even when they don't know it.
Yeah. Even when they don't know it.
And the worst part. Having to get everybody up so early.
I'd probably agree with that.
Yeah.
They started
even with the bad weather and stuff like that. I've been through it so many times it doesn't really affect me,
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really mind getting caught in the rain. I don't like starting in the rain.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah,
that's
right? Me.
Like when you look outside and you're like, ugh, let me put on my rain gear.
Yeah, that's where it gets. I'm the same way.
When we went to Georgia a couple weeks ago, right, to the thing at Hollywood's church,
right,
it was pouring buckets when we left here.
Yeah. Know?
And then 30 miles away from the church, it's sunshine.
Yeah.
Like, seriously?
Yeah.
Right about the time we check into the hotel, it's nice. But that's how it works.
I hate it when you like put your rain gear on, and you're rolling and it's not raining really hard, but it's enough to annoy you.
Yeah.
And then you get out of the rain and there's not anything. You're like between gas stops, so you don't want to stop and, take the time to take your gear off. And it ends up being 97 degrees.
Right. You're sweating.
It's like being in a sauna.
Yeah, it sucks.
It does. It really does.
Yeah. What about you, Airbender? Do you do the whole run?
This year, we're doing the majority of it.
Okay.
Me and my wife joined in LJ, Georgia.
Yep.
And then from there, we'll finish it, Lord willing. We didn't do the Michigan to LJ part of it.
Right.
Maybe next year we will.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was having doubts about being able to do it, and he keeps telling me about how God will supply and stuff, and he surely has, way beyond anything I ever thought was possible.
Yeah.
And I'm just amazed every day that God allows me to ride side to side with this man and the legend that he is. You know, I was telling somebody else earlier that there's Johnny Cash and the music, or Elvis, or whatever, and then in the MC community, you have Little Boy.
Yeah,
that's true.
I agree with that. It's really true.
And we're, me and my wife, Jess, we're a part of the ministry, but we're the Georgia representatives for Little Wolf Ministries.
Oh, praise
and,
God.
And just to be able to be here is, like a excited kid. Whenever the Heavenly Father lets you play with the toys you love and play with the people you love, you know?
That's true.
That's different. It's amazing excitement. Be married to this thing over here, man.
We got to introduce it.
I'm going to be honest with you, because, you know, I say this about myself all the time. You outkicked the coverage. It's a little sports analogy there.
Yeah.
But we all did, right?
Well, I did. I guarantee you I did.
You guys met my wife.
Yeah.
I'm in a lot of trouble. But
I don't know too many wives who let us have a podcast out here on their dining room table.
Well, she definitely loves, everything about the ministry. So,
Oh, she seems like a very nice one.
She is. She's amazing.
Rebecca loves her to death.
Good.
So, Linda, if you're listening.
she will listen. So say anything good to protect me that you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're thankful for the coffee. Yes, most definitely. Yes. Wonderful coffee.
Yes, into this beautiful home.
Thank you. What about you? How you enjoying it?
I absolutely love it. Before we were asked to be part of the ministry, I saw the biker community a little different. Women, we're kind of in the background.
Yeah.
Per se. And so I didn't know really where's my role going to fit in this? And I trusted the second he gave us the invitation to be part of the ministry, I was excited because this is a time for us to stand up for the females, that it's okay that.
I agree. And, I'm a member of Bikers for Christ, right?
Right.
And, I think that I think women are underutilized in ministry.
Most definitely.
Absolutely. Right?
And in BFC, we say, men minister to men and women minister to women,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, we do the same thing.
And, I think everybody does the same thing. There's several reasons for that, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
But you can reach a woman like I never could.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think far too often we don't use the women in our lives enough. So praise God that you're here. I love that you're here. I love that you're sitting here doing the podcast with us because it's important.
I'm excited. The Holy Spirit spoke to me numerous times along this trip to just not fear. And something that has been great, a lot of people, when they see me, y'all can't see me right now, but I have a shaved head. That's my icebreaker a lot of times. Is someone will say, I love your hair, I wish I could do that. And it gives me a chance to talk to usually that woman that may say it and say, I was once that woman that said, I wish I could do that. And for so long, I fit that mold of what society thought a woman should be, the long hair, the this, the that. And it was time for me to step outside my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be that woman that is going to sit down and be quiet. I want to stand firm for these women and say, you are my sister. You are his daughter. Let me tell you something about it.
Amen. I want to ask you something, Little Dragon.
Yeah.
You were talking, you said on the way, beginning the ride, all the fears and things that you had.
Oh, man.
Talk about that for just a second, because there's a stigma. I won't say a stigma, but there's a underlying current for women in ministry.
Absolutely.
And I want to I want the women that are listening to this to hear that they are not the only ones with those fears. So what kind of fears were you having?
Absolutely. There are a million things go through your head. For one, I'm a mother of three.
Mm-hmm.
Three daughters, very independent daughters, praise God. But I'm bringing up these warriors. So yeah. I knew at that moment where for so long I thought he's going, I'm going to stay back. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to support him. And Holy Spirit said, no, you're not.
Yeah.
I'm going to push you. He said, you want to raise these warriors. We're going to show them, you know, that you can do this. So then you start to think, okay, what if something goes wrong? What if something happens to one of them? What if? And at that moment, I just got on my knees and started praying and said, mm. Holy Spirit, listen, I need you to lift this burden.
Mm.
I can't carry this burden right. anymore.
Yeah.
And I just laid it down all right there, whether it been financial, so many things, you know, I mean,
right.
they lean on mom for everything.
Sure.
And the other fears, I mean, for me would be how are you going to use me in this situation? I'm a female, mm-hmm. you know, especially yeah. in a biker community. And every time we've gone into, whether it be a clubhouse or rest stop, he has used me every single time. And praise sometimes God. It's at the very last minute where I'm like, okay, I just wasn't meant to be used in this situation. I was mm-hmm. just meant to be support. And the best, I have to say, one of my highlights had to be with a little boy, Zach, when we were at Joel's yeah. church. And before we left, it was getting dark, and he found me, and he come running, little dragon, little dragon. I said, what is it, Zach? And he goes, I hate to ask you, but can I have one more of those crosses? And I said, absolutely. He goes, because I can't give away the one you gave me, but I'm going to tell somebody else about Jesus.
Oh, man.
And that right there, I mean, to know that I just yeah. touched this little boy, and yeah. There's nothing better than that.
Yeah.
I mean, just, and you know, you never think your testimony is going to touch somebody so young.
Yeah.
But that right there was a highlight.
That's amazing.
And it motivates you.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think it's important to think about the younger generation, right? Nobody's yeah. telling them.
Right.
Yeah. Right? They're going to college and, you know, they don't believe because they don't know what to believe because nobody's telling them the truth.
Right.
Right.
Well, they're trying to get God out of the country.
Right. Right.
Well, then think about it. I mean, the youth right now, they get everything idolized from our social media.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
if they're not yeah. able to watch what we do as Christ followers,
right.
and we're not able to be truthful to them, on the way actually up from, I split off from the guys for a few days so I could spend a few days with my children. And also we had to resupply groceries, make sure they got every,
right.
yeah. I dotted every I, crossed every T mm-hmm. and said, all right, then we're going to come up and we're going to meet them in Tennessee. And on our ride up, I love that, and I don't even know what it was. I think it was just God knowing that, okay, scratch that surface just a little more with your children. And they started asking questions, you know. One of the questions that they asked is, Mom, what do you do if you're going to, you guys are going into a territory that isn't necessarily, you know, black and white territory.
Right.
And how are you guys going to handle that? And at that moment, I didn't know how to answer that question because I didn't even know. And the words just came out of my mouth. You know, I said, we're not going across country to start any trouble. We're going across country right now to spread the word. Mm. And at that moment, we were sitting in the hotel room, and on the news comes about the floods and the fires and the this and that, going to chaos across,
right.
you know, in the entire world. And my oldest, Emma, says to me, she said, Mom, it's all over. The end of time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that right there, even though it's just havoc in the world, opened up a world of questions that I was able to, we're packing up and we were able to talk about it the whole way back up to Tennessee. Mm. So to know that they're paying attention and they're listening when we think they're not listening.
Right.
Yeah. Man, the questions. Yeah. So it's good to know that, yeah, you can reach it, somebody.
You know, there's many signs of the end times.
Right.
Right.
The fact that the Lord changed my mind as much hatred as I had for him. I never was an atheist. I had a strong relationship with the Lord at an early age. And because of some circumstances in my life, I didn't just not believe in him. I couldn't stand him. And 5 years ago, he changed that way of thinking. And back to my wife, though, man, if anybody could see how God moves with her among the women and the men,
yeah,
in the environments that we minister in, it's just amazing. You know, our home base, Ackworth, Georgia. You know, the men and women down there. We can pull up to my church, and they're like, "Hey, how you doing?" We pull up to the CH in Ackworth. They're like, "Hello, come on in."
Yeah.
Yes, little, whatever it may be. Come, you know, let me talk to you for a minute. Most of the time, she gets texts for the night's needs now from the women long before we ever get there. So she's done got her agenda laid out for her before we ever get there. And that's God, you know, that's Him doing all that work, man. And it's just crazy to watch her grow in this world, you know.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important.
Yeah, right?
That's why it's so important to, because I think far too often it's easy for us out of fear to go, "Yeah, God, I don't know if I can do that."
Yeah.
Right? We know He's telling us to do it, but we're just like,
"Or I don't feel like getting off this couch today because these comfy sweats are awesome.
Yeah.
I really don't want to go tonight." Yeah. There's so many times we've said that. I don't want to go tonight. Yeah. But we're so glad. Like, every single time we're like, so glad we went.
Yeah.
It's like when they said, "Well, we're worried about the finances." I says, "Hey, look, don't worry about it. God's got it. If He wants you to go, He'll supply."
Mm-hmm.
And He has.
I remember a story you told me last year. We were sitting at Nationals.
Right.
And you said, "I didn't think I was going to do Yeshua's run this year."
Yeah.
You said, "I had $135 or something like that. Right around there."
Yeah.
And you're just like, I got to go.
You got
home with more money than you left with.
Yeah, I remember that. You told me that story, right, too. Tell me about that. Yeah, that was an amazing God appointment and divine. And just, I mean, that whole, you know, starting the way that you did last year and then, you know, finishing as strong as you did. And here's the cool thing. We were sitting on my couch. I don't know if you remember this or not. We were sitting on my couch, and you said, "The Holy Spirit told me not to go to such and such place."
Right.
And I thought about that for a minute, and I thought, but this is a cross-country ride. You know, this is, and he, Little Wolf, was very adamant about it. He said, "So I'm not going." Because I clearly heard from the Holy Spirit not to go to this particular place. He says, "So I'm not doing it."
Yeah.
And I think when, like Little Dragon was talking about, the Holy Spirit kind of given those words, she didn't have a clue what she was going to tell her daughters.
No.
You know, you're going into places that is not friendly for the family that you are accustomed to.
Correct.
Right? And we all know about different territories and things that are, you know, and Tennessee is kind of a hot spot, you know.
A little bit.
You think? and so, you know, you're going into those places and you didn't have those answers and the Holy Spirit supplied them. Last year you started a run going across the country, didn't have the finances, didn't know how things were going to fall together.
Right.
But you were faithful in what He did or what He was going to do for you and told you not to go to a certain place. You didn't. That faithfulness came true in the righteousness that you showed other people to see God's faithfulness.
Right.
And that to me is a huge testament to what we need to live our lives as today, because we get, like you were saying, social media drives so much for our kids. But if we follow what we know to be true, if we follow what we know either through Scripture or through prayer or through what is revealed to us, then the things that we do that glorify God are going to be successful.
Right. They are.
God has never, ever lost a battle, let alone the war.
Right.
We know how the war is going to come out.
Right.
We already know how the story is going to end.
Right.
But if we remain faithful to do what He tells us to do, then the outcome is always going to be a wow.
Right.
Did you see what he did there? Yeah. Because it's not what I can do.
No.
It's not anything that we can do, but it's what he does through us.
The only thing we can do is when he gives you that vision or gives you an assignment, take that first step and go.
And go.
Right.
Because he's already got everything already worked out for you.
Exactly.
He's opened up every door you need opened up.
Mm-hmm.
He's got every stop made out for you.
Yep.
And you just have to listen to what he tells you to do.
He just wants you to walk through the first door.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Right? If you walk through the first door, they're all the rest are open.
It's easy. Man.
That's yeah. It's just like, you know, I was thinking about the story of Abraham. And he said, I want you to go to this way.
That's right.
And I want you to go until I tell you to stop. And when you stop, I got something for you.
Right.
You know? And so Abraham takes off. He was still Abram at that point. But
That's right.
He takes off trucking. I mean, he's literally just walking through the desert. And finally God tells him to stop. And he says, right here, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And he goes, what? Sarah is laughing in the back of the tent. Yeah. She's literally laughing. And the scripture goes on to say that, you know, that they followed through with what God wanted them to do.
Right.
And, you know, now our kids sing Father Abraham in Vacation Bible School.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's, you know, it's just like this, right? Sitting here doing a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
My wife will tell you, the Spirit has told me to do this for like 3 years.
Right.
For 3 years. And I'm like, I ain't doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rob and I have talked about this. I'm like, I don't have the stuff I need. I don't know how to do this. I'm not like, come on. No, not happening. And one day we were sitting there talking and I said something to her and I said, I still get this feeling I'm supposed to do this podcast. And she goes, what do you need to actually do it? So I named a couple things and she says, then go do it.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm taking away your excuse to run from the Holy Spirit.
Rebecca told me the same thing because after we talked about doing this together, we were on the way home and I told Rebecca, I said, Rick, you know, Rick and I talked about it and this is what he, you know, what he wants to do. And he's prayed about it. And I said, so I want us to pray about it. She said, well, it sounds like the answer's already there.
Yeah. Like I already prayed about it. So it's right.
You know, and so
that's kind of how that worked out with me coming on this. I was like, I'll pray about it.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing though how the women in our lives are the ones that
know.
Know and get us going.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a reason when you really go through scripture, you know, some of the in my mind, biggest things, women were first.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if you really do research on the Bible, and you probably know this, but if you really study and do research on that time in history, like when Christ was born, I think it's like 85% of the shepherds were actually women.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Right? So, if you really think about it, there's a good possibility that not only were women the first ones to the tomb, after the resurrection, there's a good chance that some women were the shepherds that went first as well.
Wow. Never thought about that.
Yeah,
I mean, think about that, right? So that's why I say it's amazing, and I love that you're here, right?
Yeah, thank you. Thank
and
you.
I love that you're
Mater's
here as well.
Here too.
Mater.
Yes.
I love having my sister with me.
Oh,
yeah.
It's just, it's that we're able to balance each other to where she's, having that other sister there is just great. Yeah. I mean, I love all my brothers, but...
Well, I understand.
I have my sister with me.
Yeah. And you know, here's I'll shout out to you, Airbender, here because your wife is with you. You know, that's your other half. That's your best friend. And to have someone walking right beside you in ministry, I could not do anything that I do in ministry without my wife. Nothing.
Yeah,
I can't even lead worship, you know.
Yeah,
I can't speak. I can't, you know, teach a Bible class. I can't do any of that without Rebecca, you know. And she said for a long time, you know, hey, you know, you've been in the motorcycle club world for so long, you know, that's your thing. But she is acclimating herself to understand what her role in that is.
Right.
You know, and she's more and more engaging herself.
Yeah.
You know, 5 years ago, she would not have shown up yesterday morning for breakfast.
Right. And I can completely relate to that, because for the longest time, I just thought, you know, it's for me to just go along for the rides.
Right.
Let him do his speaking. Let him minister however
right.
the Lord leads him to. But it did not work out that way at all.
Oh, yeah. You know, 2 weeks ago, we had Forge Brotherhood had a run out in Sevierville, Tennessee. And Rebecca, my wife is my wife is on fire. I'm talking about on fire.
Yeah, that's funny.
And she could not wait to get out to the run to spend sisterhood time and spend time in the yes. Word with her sisters.
Yes.
Right, yeah. I mean, she was very excited about it. Mm. And you know, her involvement, there's times. And I probably shouldn't, but there's a lot of...
I mean, Rebecca, turn it off if you're listening.
No. No. She'll hear it.
I'm just kidding.
Don't get me in trouble. You know, there's times when she'll see me struggling with an MC decision or something that's going on, you know, as the P of my state. Yeah. And you know... She can read it in my face, and she'll say, "Hey, what's going on? You know, what kind of pray for you about with this?"
Right.
And you know, MC is a man's world, you know. But and I don't give up club business, but at the same time, you know, I might say, "Hey, there's some political things that we need to pray about," you know. And she will. Right. She'll be right there beside me praying about
right.
it. That's one thing about my wife, you know, Snow Wolf. She stays back in the backgrounds, but she's also doing the stuff that needs to be done, like mm-hmm. taking care of my Facebook, making yeah. sure things are posted.
Right.
And, you know, we don't really realize how much the women do in the background for us.
That's exactly right.
And they pray for us.
And we sure don't give them enough credit.
No, we don't.
We don't. I don't.
I know that I absolutely don't, but I will say that something that we have to overcome as men is we have to ask more for help too.
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my wife.
Yeah, they don't know what we need.
You know, my wife will say, "Well, what do you need? I'm fine."
Yeah.
Rebecca knows that's a cue card for stop me now and make me talk about this.
Well, and Linda does too. Save but me. But we yeah. have to get better at being open. Right?
That's true. And that's true.
And then I got Mater here that's, she's an awesome driver. Yeah.
We come through Atlanta.
That's all I can say. I can drive.
I found a new respect for my sister Mater after we come through Atlanta.
And she gets my T-shirts all hooked up. And, you know,
yeah.
there's a lot of stuff goes on in the background that we don't, you know, people don't know about.
But, oh, yeah.
But, you know, somebody like Mater, she's right in there and gets it going.
Yeah. Yeah. Mater's special. She really is. She is. I'm not trying to make you cry either.
Thank you.
So what do you think, as you've got several more weeks of the run, right?
Yeah.
Like maybe three?
No, two more.
Two more?
Two more.
And then you'll be coming back through, or you're just going to go?
Yeah, we'll be coming back through. Actually, I like to get him to speak because he's going to be leaving us here in Oklahoma.
Well, yeah. Well, turn the mic over to him. Let's talk to him a bit. You got a wedding to go to. Are you officiating the wedding?
No, I'm going
to
be in it.
You're going to be in it.
Yeah, I got to get one of those tuxedos and all that stuff. You like, know, really?
That's going to be. I need pictures, Little Wolf. I need pictures of this.
No,
yeah, but
yeah.
They're
going to
have to give him a new one.
We call him Tommy. That guy. Yeah,
I mean, I don't want to admit that I thought about Tommy Boy.
But, you know, I did the same thing. That's what Little Dragon was saying.
No, he was worried about the Heavenly Father feeding him.
No, it wasn't.
I said, look, this trip here, you're going to put some weight on.
Yep.
Ain't kidding.
I wasn't worried about that. Like my first big journey, I spent 6 months and 2 days on the road. 20,464 miles as I traveled to the four corners of the United States. I left October 10th of 2020. Mm-hmm. And again, God provided everything above and beyond. I came home with more stuff than I left with. I came home with more money than I left with. And I've written a book about that journey. And now The Epic Quest for Jesus, number one new release on Amazon. But then whenever he called me and asked me about the Yeshua's Army ride, I said, well, you know, as long as the Lord provides, I'll ride.
Yeah.
He said, well, he's going to. I mean, there was no hesitation whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I'd asked God and I'd prayed about it, and he was being silent. He said, you know, just be still, son. And it finally got to the point where I had to make a decision, because you don't just jump on a motorcycle and go on a ride like this. And I said, Lord, I need to know now.
Bones, you know? Did.
Well.
Yeah, Bones.
Yeah.
Bones did.
Shout out to Bones.
My God's taking care of him, too.
My brother, my brother from Florida.
But
thank you, dearly, for coming.
I had to get it ready. You know, I had the bike had to be made sure it was ready to go and everything. And I finally prayed and said, Lord, I need to know now. Do I go or not? And he said, son, you've been asked to go and help glorify me. He said, I will provide. And I said, that's all I need to hear, Lord. And I called Little Wolf and I said, hey, I'm going to go with you. He said, man, I was just getting ready to call you. I said, well, great minds think alike. And I said, and I had $160 in my ministry fund. And I thought, that'll get me to Michigan, you know, where I'm going to meet up with him. And then God will take care of the rest, because I knew what he did the first journey.
Right.
So, man, I did within 2 days. I had a man that read my book. And he said, Jimmy, your book changed me. He said, I don't do motorcycles at all. He said, but I've been blessed financially, and I'd like to help you. He said, I know you're going on a big ride here soon. Is your bike ready? I said, well, I'm just getting ready to drop it off. He said, well, whatever it takes to get it ready, it'll be 100%. He said, I'm going to cover that. He said, and also, he said, you know, I read through your book, and all riding through the snow and the ice and the bike breaking down and sleeping on the ground here, there, and everywhere. He said, I want to help you. He said, I'm going to supply for you as you ride. And, man, he's helped us out tremendously financially. And, he's talking about him and his investors allowing me to do this full time.
Mm.
Praise God.
That would be fantastic.
The thing that blew my mind the most was he wants to buy me a new Harley so that I can be more comfortable as I do this. And I about died, man.
Wow.
You know, but I'm
my name is Batman. I need a new hair.
I'm pretty attached to my heritage.
My address is.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm working on with Jimmy to get him to accept this blessing.
Well, I have a choice. Either have the new Harley or have mine totally gone over to be what I want it to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, that old girl's got 96,000 plus miles on it now.
That's just broke in. That's Little Wolf. That's just broke in now.
That's what I'm getting at here. I don't need a new bike. I just need this one to get a little bit more stuff.
That's right.
You know? You know, but, man, I have been so blessed to be a part of this journey. It's been amazing. I have more family. Right. I mean, from the moment he got off the motorcycle, hey, brother, I'm so glad I finally get to meet you, you know? And it's like, man, me too, man. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Little Dragon, Bones.
Quit pounding the two.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
You're about to blow her ear drums.
Really?
We can hear it every time.
We hear it.
But, yeah, man, it's been a blessing. And the people that we've talked to, you know, we set out to bless these people, but they bless us just as much, if not more. Right. You know, seeing the smiling faces, like Little Zach, you know, and there's so many people. The couple today, you know, even when we're in the clubhouses, man, you know, you expect these big, tough, strong guys. But after we share with them and stuff, you know, they come up and they talk to us. They're just real people like the rest of us.
They are.
They really are. Yeah.
You know, we've been to clubhouses a lot together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as you get to know them, right, you'll walk into a clubhouse and they'll be like, hey, Rick, can we talk?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that too.
Right? You know. Like, hey,
Batman, I need to holler at you for a minute.
I need some prayer.
Yeah.
I got some stuff going.
Yeah.
You know?
Heavenly Father told me that this year he was going to be moving in the biker world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
he has been. All these years that I've been the chaplain for the club and all that, it's been these last few years that I've seen where the Heavenly Father has been moving in the club. And it's not just black and white world. It's in all the
clubs.
It is in all of them.
It is. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
You walk into a clubhouse like that and people pull you aside, you know, and you have that conversation. And then you got other guys that will come up behind you as you're praying over somebody, and they got their hand on your shoulder, and you turn around, and they're like, "Look, man, I'm sold out with you."
Yeah,
you know, and they've got a different patch on their back than I've got, and they may be black and white, you know, but still, you'd be surprised once you shine the light of Jesus the first time, how many people congregate to that light, and how many people will actually admit, I study my word every day, but I want to know more.
Yeah. But it is important to say that as Christians in this community, that we have to, for lack of a better term, we have to never fall.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. We know we're all sinners, but there's a lot of people who are waiting. They're just watching.
What? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, wait, did you just... I knew it.
Yeah.
Right? I knew it. Aha.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so for me personally, I put more scrutiny on what I do in the community for that reason.
Yeah.
Right? Because higher
standard. I want to make sure that I represent Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And there's never that aha. Right.
Like, how can you be a biker and be a Christian?
Yeah. Right.
How is that possible? Yeah. So you feel like, you know, you can almost feel their eyes, just those beady eyes.
Right.
But that's the best part.
Yeah.
Well, I heard someone say, you know, there's bikers that get saved, and then there's Christians that buy motorcycles.
That is 100% true.
Two completely different things.
Right, man. Yeah.
And, you know, and it shows, you know, as people start crossing over out of their anointing, then it shows fast. It shows rapidly. So, you know, getting to do what you love and knowing that's where God had you 30 years ago, not last week, and was preparing you this whole time for last week or today. But he's been doing it, you know, from the age of 5 years old. I was forever done. You know, I was a biker and started plastering my walls with David Mann posters and things like that at 5 and 6 and whatever. You know?
It starts in your heart.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And he's got an awesome point. It starts within, then it goes out. It's like the Holy Spirit starts within and goes out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to be real with people. That's the most important thing.
Yep.
You know, we have to be real. We have to be honest. We have to let them know when we fall short, you know, because we're not perfect. No. They don't want to see these perfect Christians.
Mm-hmm.
On my first journey, there were so many churches that wouldn't even help me. You know, the very first one said, we can't help you, but there's a motel up the road. But the very first biker church I went to, I was family.
Yeah.
And you know what? That took care of me. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, what's going on here? And he says, Jimmy, I'm going to bring a revival to the United States through the biker family and those that support them. Right. And I said, why would you use the biker family? He said, because they're the ones that have the guts to do what I need them to do.
Yep.
And
Amen.
You know what? Yeah. It's everywhere. Every clubhouse I've been in, every motorcycle ministry that I've talked to, we're family. And that is what the church is supposed to be.
Yep.
The church is supposed to be family. We're supposed to take care of each other and help each other. And there's too many churches out here that are dying because they're not doing that.
Mm. That's truth. That's the truth, right?
Yep.
There's a large percentage.
They're sitting in that pew thinking, oh, I'm saved. I don't have to do nothing.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you know,
God gave you an assignment. Get out there and do it.
I was that Christian. Mm-hmm. I was that Christian. I was that bench warmer Christian. Showed up on Sunday, praise and worship, woo, hoot, holler. Second I walked out that door, I was right back to my old ways.
Yeah.
And until the Lord brought me outside of those four walls and showed me, now is time you're going to do your work.
This is the church out here.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, right? The church was never a building.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
Right. We're having church right now.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
You know, we gotta take the church to the people that won't come to the church.
Yes.
Right.
That's what, you know? That's what Jesus did.
That's right.
He wasn't holed up in a church all the time. He was out there amongst the people.
Right.
Right.
The people that the church people don't like.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, and sat with the sinners.
I read something the other day. It was speaking about Jesus being out, you know, and constantly walking, constantly on the go, right? And I read something about the Last Supper when Jesus was washing feet. Mm-hmm. And the gist of the article was, why would you need to wash your feet when you have dirt floors to begin with? Mm. And so that got me thinking. I'm like, let me read a little bit more. And the thing that hit me the most, and this is what hit me the most, was that they brought up the article brought up the fact that the roads that Jesus traveled were covered in like animal feces and different things like that. So as they were reclining at the table, that's when scripture says they were reclining at the table, they were literally on their side, like on their elbow, you know, stretched out nose to toes.
Right.
So here I am with, let's say we're doing that around this table, and Airbender's feet are in my face.
I'll pray for you.
Well, but we have just been walking down this road that's covered in all this mess and gunk and trash, and the perfect one bends down to wash my feet, right, to wash your feet, to take all of the junk, knowing that I'm about to stand up on a dirt floor anyway.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. That's awesome, man. Yeah.
You know, so he washes away everything. So we go into these places sometimes that are dark and dreary, and some, you know, go in some rough places, right?
Yeah.
Right? And the Lord still cleanses us through the Holy Spirit to walk into that place, because he knows we're going to come out into the world again anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And our salvation is that exact same way. We get cleansed through the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
To go right back out into a world that's filthy, that's filled with remorseful things, filled with dirty deeds, but we're cleansed knowing that we have to be a part of that to show others what that statement on our heart is, what that testimony that God has written that's specific to me, to you, and everybody in this room.
Amen.
My testimony may sound a lot like everybody else, but it's mine.
Yeah. Right.
And everybody's got a testimony.
Exactly. Right. No matter what, how awe-inspiring or how much shock and awe is involved with it, we still have a testimony.
Right.
And that testimony can be used for the good. But Jesus cleansed Batman,
right,
knowing that I'm going to go back out into the world, that I'm going to step back out on a dirt floor. And that, that turned me, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
it's intense.
I don't even really know what to say to that. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm trying to think of something really cool to say, and it's not coming out.
I tell you, I was talking to, you know, a little dragon earlier, and I said, you know, while I was in prison, I had a vision, and I swear I was walking right beside Jesus as he was carrying his cross. And I saw the crown of thorns and the blood running, and I watched him spit on him and beat him and whip him. And when that whip hit his back, it hooked into the meat and ripped chunks of meat out of his back. And it was the most horrible thing that I've ever seen in my life. And I couldn't help him. I wanted to, but I couldn't. There was some sort of force field. But the thing that hurt me the most is when he stopped and he turned and he looked at me. And when his eyes met mine, I realized that I was doing that to him through my sin.
Right.
And I said, Lord, never again. Mm, never again will I take that for granted, you know.
Yeah, that's
and I bawled like a little baby in my prison cell, man, because I knew that I was causing that through my sin.
Right.
And now I'm not sinless, but I sin less.
That's right. Mm. That's right. And that's the key.
That is. It's a constant
recognizing
walk
that
with Jesus.
Remembering that, yeah.
You know, that every day I know, every day I'm trying to be 1% better, right? Mm-hmm. Every day I want to be 1% closer to Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's all I can do. That's all I think any of us can do is that every day we wake up and we say, Lord, we're in it today.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Help me get through it and I'm going to be better.
Mm-hmm. But right? what we need to realize is that Christ did all that because he loved us so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
Without fail.
Yeah. Willingly, right? Like yeah. he knew that was happening.
Yeah, he knew he was going to go through all that.
Right.
And he still did it.
Mm-hmm.
And we all look up to different people, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're the main one that we should be looking up to is Christ.
The only right. one. Yeah. yeah.
He's the one that's done all this for us.
Right.
That's right.
He hasn't done it for anybody else.
Yeah.
He's done it for every one of us out here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the type of man that I look up to, man.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know.
And I want to be like that.
Yeah.
I'll never obtain that. I'll never attain that.
Right.
But that's what I want. Like Rick was saying, I want one every day 1% better.
Yeah,
1% better.
I like the scripture.
That'd be a good T-shirt, y'all.
1% better.
Yeah.
There's a scripture that comes to my mind where he says, "You know what? Greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his friend."
That's right.
And that's for me, this is kind of a warped way of looking at things, but for me to offer up my life for my brothers and sisters in Christ and those outside of the will of God at the moment, you know, but part of our culture, you know, for me to lay my life down for that, you know, and count it all good because that's what I live for, you know.
Yep.
That would be very hard, you know, and I've thought about this a lot, you know. Is there anybody on this earth that I would do that for? And when I started to think about it, what he suffered and how bad it really truly was, and I mean, I love all you guys. I don't know that I could willingly do that. And I thought, the only person that I know that I could, for a fact, do that for is my daughter, Heaven. Right. Yeah. And I tell you what, I would go through hell and high water for that girl. I would take that beating for my daughter because I love her that much. And then I realized, you know what? Jesus
did it for us
because he loves us so much. We are his children.
We are God's children.
So when we look at that, our children need to, man, they are our future.
Yeah.
And we need to let them know about Jesus.
Right.
Yeah.
Let them know what he's done for us and what he has for them. Because he has so much waiting for them if they just accept that free gift. Now, my daughter was saved in 2012.
Praise God.
And I know she's saved. I watched her give her life to Jesus. And then the world got a hold of her just like it did me.
Mm-hmm.
And I backslid. Well, finally, in my prison cell, I said, that's it, I'm done. And I know one of these days she will come back to Jesus because the Word says to raise up our children in the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it.
That's right.
As she gets older, I know she's going to see it more and more. But that's where we're falling short. A lot of men out there, a lot of fathers out there aren't being the father to their children that they need to be.
Yep.
Yeah, that's big.
I agree with that. You know, I had the pleasure... our youngest daughter is like 26 now, I think. Sorry if you're listening, 26. Kaylee, I apologize. I think you're 26. But, you know, she was here. She went to the University of Utah. She lives in Salt Lake City. That's kind of where I grew up. But she would come here for the summers. Mm. And her and Linda one summer studied Esther.
Mm. Mm.
And she had went back home, and she called me. It was just after Christmas, and she said, "Look, Dad, I want to get baptized. Will you come and baptize me?" I'm like, "I'll be on a plane tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm on the way. Yeah,
like, what do we do? Yeah. Like, I'm there. You know."
That's great.
And so I know what you're saying. It's like that's the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine not being able to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I want to do. I kind of want to land the plane. Right? We've been going for a while. In the show notes, I'm going to put a link to Little Wolf Ministries. I'll put a link to your Facebook page. I'll put a link to your book on Amazon. I'll get all the details when we're done here. And then if anybody has questions and you want to talk, you want to ask questions, send me an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. Rob and I will go through those things, and we'll see what we have to do. I think the most important thing for me today is two things. First, I just want to say thank you for everything that you do. This is not an easy trip, right? I think a lot of people are like, oh, you get to go ride a bike, right? Yeah, it's a vacation.
Come along for a week.
Yeah. Right?
Let me show you what it's all about.
I'll show you how this works.
Anybody who's ridden all the way across the country and the rain, the snow, the wind, the heat's probably the worst.
The heat
right?
is nasty.
I think people don't realize that. You know, when it's 95 degrees outside, the faster you go, the hotter it actually gets.
It's like riding in a hairdryer.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, you get the heat from the bike, but, the heat from the asphalt. Mm-hmm.
But the one thing is, when you see a person give his life to Christ,
it makes it all worthwhile.
It's like the tornado, and we rode through the tornado in Ohio, you know, and the hail and stuff, and it hurt, you know, and we couldn't see. All I could see was Little Wolf's taillight, and all he could see was the truck's taillight in front of him. But you know what? I ride through that every single day for one soul to be saved. Yeah.
Amen. Absolutely.
It's just one.
It's just like when we helped that family out.
Yep.
Just stuff like that makes this trip all well worth it.
Yeah. Oh, and I want to give you guys an update, too, while we're here. Rebecca has been texting back and forth with the woman that we met yesterday morning.
Amen.
Yeah. We've been searching for, you know, them to find a place, and I haven't heard today, but yesterday afternoon, last evening, they had some possibles, three different possibilities. So,
yeah.
So Rebecca is keeping up with that and making sure that.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you, ma'am. Yeah.
Rob, is there anything you want to say?
No, you guys. Of course, we've been friends for a few years, you know, and I want to tell you, thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for following through with what God has shown you. It's awe-inspiring to me. And I've been a Christian for a long time, backslid. I was like you, Bill. I backslid for a while. And got caught up in addiction and things, but the thing that I love the most is hearing God stories from everyday people.
Right.
You know, and hearing those stories of where God's glory is going before us,
right?
Because of the faithfulness that a knucklehead like me,
like all
and
of
me,
you know, and Billboard, you know, but because I mean, we're all a bunch of knuckleheads around this table.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And the idiot half here.
I love that. I love your ink. I really do. But the thing that here's the thing, we know what we're supposed to do,
right? And we do,
and following through with that. I want to thank you, all of you, for following through with that, because it's encouraging for me especially, you know, to know that brothers and sisters in arms are following through with what God has shown them, and thank you, seriously, thank you. It means a lot to me,
and I promise one person that hears the message today is going to be touched.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what it's about, right? Yeah. When I started this, when I started this, I told Lynn, I said, I don't know how long this is going to go. I don't know what it's going to happen. But if one person comes to Christ because of it, it was all worth it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm going to ask Batman to pray for you guys.
Yeah.
Right? And then we'll kind of close this out.
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you so much for friends who are sold out followers of your son Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for the stories that you have written on their hearts. I thank you for the way that you have shown them what their role is in the ministry that you have given them. Thank you, God, that you have kept them safe. Thank you, God, for your provisions. Thank you for the way that they are able to freely show your son Jesus, his love, and his salvation to a world that doesn't necessarily want to hear it, but that are accepting because your Holy Spirit has gone before them. Thank you for ministering angels that are keeping the shiny side up and the rubber side down. Mm-hmm. Thank you, God, that your will be done, mm-hmm. especially through this group of Little Wolf Ministries. God, we love you. We bless your name. Forgive us for when we fall short for what you've called us to do. Forgive us when we sin against you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.